Sit Down by the Bank, a Jacksonville Jaguars podcast with Corey, Derek, and JK3.
All right, welcome to Down by the Bank, affiliated with the Blue Wire podcast. This is, God dang it. All right, welcome to Down by the Bank, affiliated with the Blue Wire Network. This is Corey. What am I doing here?
No idea.
The thing, Xbox thing threw me off. Hold on.
We need to keep this right here and just keep it going right here. Guys, he can't even say the intro because we've been picking at him because he still has an Xbox 360.
The way that he phrased it too, I've got the new one before that. Bro, that I got the new one. It's not new. That's not new at all. The newest one before that.
What brought this up was the Call of Duty game. Yeah,
the new Call of Duty game, which looked cool in clips and stuff. But I wasn't sure if I had, because you know they were still releasing some of the newer games on the new old console.
you're gonna be playing by yourself on. You're gonna lob into the lobby. It's gonna be like you and someone else, like at Moose Haven. I think they have the newest. Think they have the newest Xbox also.
For the record, Corey's not much of a gamer, so we're not. We don't need to pick.
No, don't give him that, dude. He's got a Switch. We were talking about GoldenEye. No, don't give him a pass on this. Do not give him a pass. No, absolutely not.
I've been more into the like Nintendo stuff lately. I used to play a ton of Call of Duty, and I actually used to be pretty good. Believe it or not, Derek, my kill death ratio was quite good. So. Pulling off those no scopes with the sniper rifle, you know about that?
Yeah, man, you guys are. I'm gonna show my age. I'm not gonna say anything else. Call of Duty to me was, that was the first time I played that was high school.
Derek remembers real World War II.
He served. He's got the dog tags from it.
Yeah, Call of Duty Live.
All I can tell you is...
He had to avoid dysentery on the Oregon Trail.
You know what? That's okay. That's okay. You know, Call of Duty was, you know, that was something. And it was, what's even crazier is I was chatting with a buddy the other day. He asked me, what's the first console you had Madden on? I was like, the first console that I had Madden on? He goes, yeah. I was like, I don't want to say it. He goes, I got a running joke here with me and another friend that was coming into the tech. He started texting me. He goes, I bet you it was a Sega Genesis or a Super Nintendo. I deleted the chat. I deleted the text messages and I stopped responding because they were right. I had them on both of them. Cool. Again, shows the age, but.
So this is the Down by the Bank podcast, affiliated with the Blue Wire Podcast Network, and it's three of us here, so Corey, Derek, and JK3.
They know who we are.
I know, but that's like part of the thing, you know. And I, for whatever reason, I slipped a little bit there. Usually, I've had that down pretty well for quite a while, but whatever. All right, so recording post Jags-Colts game. Dominating performance, 24-0, awesome home crowd in Jacksonville. And so I always like to just kind of talk about game day experience first. So JK3, I don't know if you want to talk about game day experience, what your thoughts were in the stadium, and what the presentation was like in the first regular season home game versus what we've seen in the preseason games.
I mean, again, they do a great job. You know, the tailgate was awesome. So we had my wife's cousin DJ Trav, who is out with he DJs out at the Ritz, so I wanted to give him a little shout out. So if anyone that is a Jacks Beach local, you'll see him there. He kind of looks like Canelo Alvarez a little bit. I noticed that on Sunday. I was like, man, he really does look like Canelo a little bit. But all in all, it was great. I think they do a really good job again as far as crowd engagement. Video production, everything that the Jags do, it was awesome. The flyover, I was expecting something a little bit more spectacular, but you know, I'll take it. You know, I guess being here in Jacksonville, very spoiled with the military presence. So, you know, usually we get a couple like F-16s, some F-18s, you know, some cool stuff like that. But I was looking for a care package, when those planes came over on Sunday. But all in all, was good. But Corey, I think you had the best. I mean, you got to go down to the Shadow experience, something brand new this year. So I kind of want to know more about that.
Yeah, well, first of all, congratulations to myself for being such a VIP. You know, a lot of people don't realize that.
Had to plug yourself there.
First of all, the care package comment about those planes is hilarious. That's very funny because those things were slow moving. It was cool. Somebody texted me that I've developed a pretty good relationship with, just through who works for the organization that I communicate with on LinkedIn and stuff a lot, which is funny because you guys make fun of the LinkedIn stuff, which is hilarious. So I think you ripped me last time for even talking about that. But guess what? It's networking. It works. So they invited me to the Shadows thing. And at first I had no idea what that was, but they sent some more information over and I agreed to do it because it sounded cool and unique. And what it is you actually go into kind of like the back hallway leading into the player's entrance tunnel. So you're in the hallway and you see the players coming from the locker room, and in the hallway, they have all the stuff set up where there's like the lights and the smoke. And I guess all the stuff you see on the screen out when you're in the stadium. Yeah. So we get there about 11:30 or something, and they had us wait at this tent at one of the ramps outside the stadium, I think outside gate one. And we had to check in, get little wristbands and stuff, and then around 12:30, they brought us back. You know that entrance, that ramp where you can see like the windows to the gym and all that stuff down there?
Oh, yeah. There's
like artificial grass. Yeah.
On the other side, we went through behind the statue, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's where we went in. So you went into the building and it was like really quick to get to the spot. I mean, you turn one hallway and there's like all the players position group rooms. You see like the linebacker room and the DB room, and you can see the screens, I guess, where they watch film and do whatever. And then there's a little partitioned area that you stand in. And fortunately, we got down there, pretty quick compared to everybody else and got to the front. So Amelia, my daughter, stood against the guardrail, and you kind of sit there for about like 10, 15 minutes. The players come off the field and walk by and, you know, wave and you cheer and all that kind of stuff. And then they come back out for the formal intros. So it was pretty cool. Like they, it was definitely unique. You got to see behind the scenes as they put everything together. The music that they play back there is extremely explicit. So I'll say that first and foremost. That doesn't show up in the stadium. One of the highlights is as everybody was walking out, I think it was Jamal Agnew actually came over and like gave her a fist bump and was like interacting with the fans, which is funny because the little flyer that you sign says that you're not really supposed to interact or say or reach out or anything.
Right.
He actually came over and made a point to do that. So that was pretty cool. But one of my favorite things being in the stadium is like the video packages at the beginning and like you said, the flyover. And I did, that was the compromise I had to make, because as we were walking out back outside to go to our seats, that's when I saw the planes come over. So I saw the planes like just as they came over the stadium. But yeah, it was cool. I mean, I don't really know if that was just like a trial thing or if they've done it already. I mean, so somebody on Twitter had asked me like how to do that. And I don't know. I don't know if there's tickets for that or what that process looks like. But I think I just kind of lucked out on maybe they had space or something and you know, had me in mind for an extra person to do it. But I definitely think it's something that if you get the opportunity to do, it's super cool, especially if you have your kids with you, because I think that's that like memorable experience, larger than life type thing that they'll remember. And so yeah, it was fun. I thought it was pretty cool.
Awesome. I mean, the Jags do a phenomenal job. And again, compared to other stadiums and things like that, as far as the beginning, the family atmosphere and some of the things they have there, it's top notch. I mean, it really is. It's top notch. And, you know, I'm glad you were able to experience that. Derek, how was, you watching the game from your local Best Buy, a.k.a. your house? You got every technological, you got 4K TVs, surround sound, fully immersed.
Man, it doesn't help when your two-year-old decides that he wants to you know, drop something on you or throw stuff and throw tantrums. Hey, man, I'm just glad we won. Just glad we won. You know what?
Convincingly won.
Yeah, convincingly won. I made a comment about, you know, five games or whatever, getting in rhythm, and because it just was like, okay, how long do leash do you give them? Was definitely wrong about that, and hey, well, you know, hey, we won. So I'll be wrong and win. Hey, it's a win-win for me. But how many pass attempts did he have? How many pass attempts did he have? Okay, I think that's like the third time I've done this. Okay, and it's not I'm gonna toot my horn. Yes, I am, because I sat there. I was like counting them too. 24, 25. I was getting towards the end of the game. 26, 27, 28. What do you know? Right on 30. So hey, I'll take that any day of the week, man. To beat them the way we did, I'll take that any day. And I mean, there's just not too much you could really say, because it wasn't a phase. It wasn't one you know, phase of the team had a good game, or like all three phases we pretty much waxed them and just, you know, move on to the next opponent. You know, Pittman's out and all that. Whatever, man. It's part of the game. Injuries are part of the game. So we don't have injuries. Knock on wood. Like, I don't know if y'all have noticed that injury report has been, like, clear. That's rare when we don't have anybody. I'm sure there's bumps and bruises, but nobody's on that report. James Robinson looks good. Yeah, he's looking like that's not, you know, I'm sure they're watching it, but it's not affecting his play. And as long as we can keep everybody up front healthy on the offensive line. And real quick, a shout-out to Juwan Taylor.
Oh, man.
Man.
Yeah.
Man. That's what I'm talking about. I don't want to, you know, sit here and say, yeah, get rid of you. Another, you know, high draft pick, second round pick, you know, wasted. That's what we want to see. So, wow. That's why we're fans. We don't know anything. Okay. Yeah. Everybody, fans, media, we don't know. We really don't know.
Maybe we'll just talk about the that. Right talk, type of coach. Talk about that, because I mean that's something I wouldn't pay attention to in the game, you know, just because I'm not focused on most of the things that aren't, you know, related to the ball being in somebody's hands. So, you know, what was his game like? Why are you pointing him out specifically?
Because he's not letting anybody near Trevor on his side. Not a soul.
Is that nobody's through both games so far, or just really good in the Colts game?
Both.
Yeah, that right side, dude, that right side has been, you know, something that's what a quarterback's, you know, dream is, especially with, you know, adding Sheriff. Sheriff looks amazing on that right side. And then also with Juwan Taylor as well. And I think the thing that, you know, Juwan and one of the themes from going back to training camp was creating competition at each individual position, you know. And so I think that, you know, that the competition that was created – when you could have had, you know, Walker Little, you know, breathing down his neck, you had all these, you know, a couple of different offensive sets. But I think that, you know, that the increased competition, the iron sharpens iron, is really what's gotten that right side of the offensive line good. And again, yeah, Derek, I agree with you. I think the over this last game, I think there was zero pressures and maybe two quarterback hits. And you know, the two quarterback hits kind of came with Trevor either, like, you know, kind of rolling out of the pocket or, you know, getting ready to throw it away. But no, I think the offensive line, you know, has done their due diligence. But again, with the offensive line having its struggles and people are roasting them and, you know, ready to, you know, kill them, you got to give them their credit when the credit's due. And they played a heck of a game on Sunday.
Yeah, that was just to control the line of scrimmage and for them to run the ball. Now, they didn't run it as effectively as they did in the Washington game, but they didn't need to. They needed to let the Colts know that the threat is there, and you got to continue to put, you know, eight in the box so that they can roll out. I thought was great was in the first quarter, like every first down, they kept running it. Every first down in the first quarter, they ran the ball. And then somewhere in the second quarter, they started mixing it up. By the third quarter, the Colts defense was hooked on play action so bad that it did, like all they had to do was fake it. They just ran out a little play action. It was a little one back set, you know, you call it 21 personnel, whatever. And they would just roll Trevor out. A lot of those drag routes.
That's when he threw it to Christian Kirk, where he could have either ran it in or decided to throw it in, and that was a huge bite on the play action because they had to respect it. That was James Robinson. I think the average was like 2.6, 2.7 yards, but he had already gashed them a couple times. ETN had already gashed them a couple times, and again, he's still like one shoestring tackle away from breaking like a home run play or something like that.
He's going to get one.
He's gonna get several.
It's gonna be like 80 or 90 yards. I guarantee it. And you're gonna see, and that's when they'll find out how fast he really is.
Right.
For those that have not watched, you know, that don't watch college football, Travis Etienne can really open up, like almost like some world class track speed. You'd have to have some fast DBs back there to get a hold of him if he gets in the open field. So, but as a whole, hey, just proud of the team, proud to be that they're 1-1. You know, everybody's really embracing the whole, like, leading of the division because Buffalo really smacked around Tennessee. Tennessee Titans fans are really funny on Twitter, too, because they just they can't accept it. It's time for change, man. It's time for change. And you can go ahead and throw what's the rookie quarterback they got in Tennessee? Malik or something like that. What's Tennessee's backup quarterback? What's his name?
Malik Willis.
Malik Willis. Yeah, you go ahead and throw Malik back there if you want to. Okay, I know we're not playing the Titans yet. We're playing the Chargers, but I always take a chance to throw a shot at them. Yeah, you go ahead and put him back there if you want to. And this whole like, well, he'll run away from people. He's not Lamar Jackson. Okay, so. Yeah, and that's – y'all might have to do that because Tannehill's always been trash in my eyes. It's really the Derrick Henry show. Yeah. So, but anyway, yeah, no, that's – just glad to see a victory. Embrace it, enjoy it, move on because we got a tough one coming up, man.
What do you think about, you know, from the defensive side of the ball, you know, before we transition over to L.A.? I mean, right now – And I think, you know, transitioning to the D, the thing that, you know, aggravates me the most, and this probably could be because I am a huge Jags fan, and they probably haven't earned the national media coverage yet or anything else like that. But, I mean, I tune in to SportsCenter on that Sunday or that Monday after, like, expecting to see, you know, a bunch of plays, and it's like 10 seconds, you know, just on the Jags, you know. And then when you turn – I don't know if anybody watches that Inside the NFL show on I think it's on Paramount Plus, but they got a panel with like James Brown, Julian Edelman, Brandon Marshall, you know, Ray Lewis, all of them. And they kind of do like an NFL films kind of thing where they go through each game. And I watched the highlights of that game in the Jags. We got like 30 seconds. But the next game after that, it was Pittsburgh and the Patriots. And they spent the amount of time on like the pregame of the Pittsburgh and the New England matchup that they did on the Jags. So, I don't know, it kind of upsets me. Like, I hate it, but, I mean, they're right now, they're plus +5 in the turnover margin, and they're leading the NFL, you know, with turnovers and takeaways. So, you know, that we got to give some credit, excuse me, some shout-outs to the defense as well for what they did on the game on Saturday, I mean, or Sunday. I mean, it was just insane. And, again, I think this is one of the bigger things that we thought of about that front seven. You know, we don't want to drink the Kool-Aid too early. We didn't want to drink it in training camp too early. But, I mean, that front seven that they have right now and the front seven that they're putting on the field, you know, consistently is just it's raw. They're awesome. I mean, I love seeing the Josh Allen. I love seeing, you know, Fadasaki, Devon Hamilton getting some in there, Roy Robinson Harrison. And then you got the rookie, Trayvon, who's just been playing like a first-rounder. You know, Devin Lloyd playing like a first-rounder. Like, is it safe to say that Balky has, like, has he emerged from the flames as he come through, as he emerged from having like these starters yet?
I know a lot of people are on that train, but I'm not. I consider this more Doug Peterson influence than Balky. That's just my opinion.
Well, I was going to ask you guys about Mike Caldwell and the job that he's done so far.
Yeah, of course. I mean, yeah. Mike Caldwell, you know, doing the job that he's done, you know, from Tampa. Tampa, they had an outstanding defense, you know, and they still continue to, you know, have. But I would say that the reason I would put, like, Tampa's defense now, since it's still good with Mike Caldwell, with the absence of Caldwell, would be, you know, something that would have Caldwell's influence. Caldwell's a first-year person here. Doug's a first-year person here. Trent's the longest-standing, you know, the longest-standing button pusher that they have in the front office. So, I mean, at the end of the day, he's the person that's making the call. He made the call against Trayvon when, you know, some people wanted us to trade back the pick. You know, some people wanted some different, you know, some different outcomes, but he made the call for Trayvon, and then also trading back to get Devin Lloyd as well in the first round. And both of your first round picks are playing and contributing, and that's what you want out of your first round picks, right?
Yeah,
you got two guys, you got two first round picks that both have picks, like actual interceptions in the last 2 weeks. Has he come out? I mean, every time we mention Trent Baalke, I need that 50 cent, that many men.
Hey, I don't want to, you know, basically throw him in the St. John's, but definitely, definitely still there. There's nothing you can say except that, you know, it was a phenomenal job this offseason, you know, so far. When you look at it, especially on the defensive side of the ball, a phenomenal job by the entire office. Maybe they finally, you know, they finally actually listened to the fans. You know, who knows? They just getting tired of losing, getting tired of being the laughing stock, getting tired of. What would make me mad would be the blatant disrespect by national media not wanting to cover our team. You know, basically. Instead of showing highlights, just showing a score. And they still do that now, although we won the game. So I'm glad that we have the players that hopefully will get their attention, because players will get their attention. And hopefully our record will be able to also get their attention too. But for right now, the players will get their attention. The defensive line, you know, starts there. Phenomenal job. Linebackers, can't say, you know, enough with, you know, the group, they're young, but they're hungry. And then on the back end, Jenkins have his best game. I mean, that was insane what he was able to do.
His first pick as a Jag.
Yeah, so yeah, just all around. But no, I'm still not gonna I don't jump on bandwagons like everybody else does. The wagon can train can go by.
Excuse me.
Yeah. Sorry. I don't jump on. So, y'all can go ahead and go. If I miss the boat, if I miss the party, I miss the party. So,
well, I don't know if I told you guys also, I had the premium shadows experience. So I actually was able to give the team a motivational speech beforehand. So I actually take a little bit of credit on that. So
better than the Trevor one that they showed a couple weeks ago.
Oh, I didn't see that. What is that?
I guess it was. He came out kind of lackluster and was like, all right, we're going to play a good game. We're going to run our routes. We're going to do our thing. Let's play with some swag. And I don't know, like, it just could have been just terrible timing. But I guess the quote on that I saw on Twitter was like, someone said, Trevor Lawrence couldn't motivate me to make a sandwich. And it was funny. It was funny how low-key he was, you know, about it. But I'm glad that you know, getting down and giving them a pep talk, you know, led to us putting up 24-0.
Yeah. Hey, guys. I didn't know I had it in me.
I already simulated this game with Madden on my 360. I want to tell you guys that go out there and win. There's your motivational speech.
Madden on Xbox 360. Okay, so is that? I think that's pretty much. I will say one other thing about the live experience, JK3. I think you'd agree with me on this. The fans, I thought, were pretty awesome. Like, I thought the fans.
So really I wanted to ask you this too. So usually you sit on the away side, and so it felt really good from because on the home side we don't really have a lot of opposing fans over there. I mean they're scattered, but it's not like that. On the away side, it's usually, you know, where you can see that. And it felt good to see that, like, pocket of fans that are usually there. I felt good not to see that many people there. I will tell you that.
Yeah, yeah. It was definitely a different experience, that's for sure. I don't know why. Maybe just, I don't know, do Colts fans not, you know, typically travel a whole lot? I mean, I don't mean to not give credit to the Jags fans for showing up, but I don't know. It definitely felt different. And by the way, one quick note on the soda Diet Coke thing that I made a comment on in the last episode. It's actually free refills if you have the souvenir cup. I found that out, so I actually wasn't stealing. So just okay. So let's shift gears a little bit here to the Chargers game in LA. And I know JK3, you love the start time of this game.
Oh yeah, 4 p.m. Oh, this is gonna be great. 4 p.m. on a Sunday, it will allow me. So the only thing I don't like about this, I'll start with the negative, is that usually if the Jags lose, I take my 4 p.m. nap. So I usually sleep through the afternoon games because I'm so angry, and all I can do is just go to sleep and take a nap. So now if they lose on Sunday, I'm going to have to carry that into the Sunday night game, and then I'm going to be really angry on Monday. So I'm not going to be able to sleep it off. But on the other hand, when they win on Sunday, I can carry my excitement into the Sunday night game and really have that pressure off that my team, you know, went on ahead and did what they needed to do against a formidable opponent. The national media has no reason but to cover us. But honestly, with it being the Jags, they will probably find a way to say why the Chargers lost against the Jaguars by not having Keenan Allen or anything else like that. It's not a score prediction yet or anything. I'm just giving you two sides of it. But yeah, you know, 4 o'clock game gives me time to really think about what I want to, you know, put on the grill. Maybe throw some wings, throw some ribs out there. I don't know. The options are there.
Nice, nice. Derek, what do you think about the later start in the games? I really don't like it. I like being able to have that game, you know, early on in the day. And you know,
see,
I don't know.
I don't like it because, like, I don't see, I can't sleep when I'm gassed up. And so if they lose or go out there and do something dumb, it'll be 9, 10 o'clock. I'll still be stewing. Like, I can't believe, man. You know, so if they win, hey, you know, that'll be great too. But 4 o'clock time, you know, it's just, it's weird. You know, you're used to, when you're stunk for so long and you have all your games at 1 and then they throw it off, like, you know, 4 o'clock games we don't like. But if we had a Thursday night game or a Sunday night game, you know, heaven forbid we'd never get a Monday night game. Even if we did do well, they still don't like us. But then, you know, that's an excuse to party. So yeah.
My mother-in-law, she thinks that the game is at 1 o'clock, and she asked me to come move some boxes or some stuff out of a storage unit. I'm not telling her that it's at 4. So I want to be able to go there at, you know, 10, do my hour, do my son-in-law duties, and then get back home.
That's super funny, actually.
Well, you just told her.
She doesn't listen. She wouldn't even know. She wouldn't even know what I mean. She wouldn't know where to find the podcast. So I'm completely fine with that, and no one tell her either. So,
well, what about the football aspect of the game? Because I can't say I know a whole lot about LA. And correct me if I'm wrong, Derek and I were talking about this a little bit beforehand. Are we still on that, like, massive losing streak over there?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah.
So that's not good. Because even the Colts game, I thought maybe there was a chance they'd win just for the sake of us beating them so many times in a row. So maybe that would fall in our favor. But, you know, they evidently have a pretty talented team. So is this going to be the toughest challenge we face this year so far?
Absolutely. Man. So when you look at them, and I'll switch to talking about their defense. So they've got Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa coming off the edge. That's the first thing. Okay. Their linebackers are young. They can tackle. They really get after it. They got a good nose guard. He definitely plugs up the middle for them. I think it's Joseph Day, I think is his last name. I'd have to look
it
up.
But, yeah, you're right. Yep.
Yeah. So, and then you have they have decent corners. Asante Samuel Jr., you know, his dad, you know, was a Pro Bowler in the league. So the reason why he's contributing young because he's probably been told a lot of things early on that he now sees that he doesn't have to really learn from experience. His dad can tell him. But the biggest thing that makes that defense run is Derwin James. He's everywhere. He's 10 yards back. He's up on the line. He will pick up offensive linemen, and he has knocked them off their feet before. No problem.
Did he pick up Travis Kelce?
Yeah, he picked up Travis Kelce last week, Corey.
Huh.
Picked him up in like suplex. It was like a Goldberg-type suplex almost, man.
Goldberg.
Yeah. So, and it's not the fact, you know, a lot of guys in the NFL can hit, but he's also very smart. So the good thing that Trevor did against the Colts, and he was doing against the Commanders, just wasn't making the throws, he was manipulating the safeties with his eyes, which is very key for a quarterback. He would look one way and go the other way. That's why we had guys running wide open, because he was able to do that. He's not going to be able to do that so easily this time. That's not going to be very easy for him to do. And then, you know, we just gave Juwan Taylor some praise. Cam Robinson, you know, playing excellent ball, both of them. They're going to have their work cut out for them on Sunday. It's going to be a big test. This isn't going to be one of those things where you got to out-scheme and out-smart. They just need to go out there and play and find a way to win.
They almost have to play a perfect game to get a W, you know, here. Because I think that, you know, sticking with the defense – or excuse me, sticking with LA's defense. It is, I mean, you've got, Trevor's not going to have a lot of time, you know, with Bosa and Khalil Mack, only just because of the sheer talent between them. You can double team, you can block, you know, you can chip, you know, whatever you need to do, add another, you know, running back in the backfield, the time isn't going to be there. And I think within the time not being there, you've got, like you said, Asante Samuel, you've got J.C. Jackson, you've got Derwin back there as well, quarterback in the defense as well. You know, they're gonna be there. It's gonna be a very talented defense. So I think it's gonna be mistake free football. But what I've watched so far in the last two games that they've played, they can't stop the run. They really can't. Kansas City doesn't have the best offensive line. Even though they've been working on it, but Edwards-Helaire had a decent game, last week, against them, and I think that right now, I think this is going to be a coming out party for ETN. I really think that because I think the way that they're going to have Khalil probably, you know, shadow or try to, you know, if they try to get any type of mismatches with Christian Kirk, you know, Khalil Mack is going to have to be there. They're going to have to do some things to really get creative in order to get ETN and James Robinson rolling. But I think this is going to be a game to where Doug goes deep into the playbook and really gets ETN into some space and gets him into, you know, a couple of creative places. I think this is also going to be a great game, too, for Agnew. So I think the quick plays, I think the quick burst, I think the runs are going to be one of the really keys to really stop this team and keep Herbert and that offense off of the field. Think converting on third downs like the Jags have been doing, in the last couple of games are going to, you know, what's really going to eat up the clock and really continue those drives. But they cannot, you know, I don't think this is a game where they chance, you know, where they try an Asante Samuel, where they try a J.C. Jackson, where they try, you know, Derwin. I think this game is going to really be won within that front seven. And then, you know, switching over to the defensive side of the ball for the Jags, another very talented offense, you know, Herbert, Keenan Allen, I don't know if he's going to play. They're saying that he's doubtful, but then you still have Gerald Everett, the tight end, and this team historically doesn't play against tight ends very well. They've got Austin Eckler, who is a beast out of the backfield as well. So, again, staying with the same theme with the front seven, I think it's going to be front seven football on both sides of the ball. Our front seven is going to really have to match up really well You know, and really not lose Gerald Everett in coverage, not lose Austin Eckler out there and get him running because he's a fast, shifty back as well. And I think that, you know, if we, you know, Mike Williams, he's had a great game last week also. So definitely no lazy play from, you know, Shaquem Griffin or excuse me, from Griffin. So I think it's just going to be one of those things where the front seven is going to be, you know, we're really going to have to see if this defense is what it's made of often and early. And you got to hit those tender ribs of Herbert as crappy as that sounds. You got to go for him. You got to hit him.
Torn rib cartilage, man. It's a thing. They're going to have him all vested up. He's going to have more pads on and around him. He'll probably have on a Dern jacket underneath the pads. But that we definitely have the tools to be on the field with them. We definitely have the tools to beat them. It's just a matter of going out and executing and making one more play. Because they're going to, like, it's very rare when the Chargers, since Justin Herbert's gotten there, it's very rare where they just get completely shut down, like we just did to the Colts. That's rare. If we went out there and did that, oh, man, then the national media definitely would need to start changing their tune and be like, look, there's something there. But they're just going to be tough. I mean, last week Herbert got... He got crunched, hurt his ribs, and literally, like, five plays later, he threw, like, a 50-yard bomb down the field. And you can see when he threw it, his right arm's following through, and the left arm was holding his ribs. And so, it's like, what person does that? You know, who does that? This guy does, allegedly, so... they're going to be a tough out, but I think we're up to the task. We got a good coach, man. Doug Peterson, you know, he called a great game last week, and I think he's going to do the same thing. He's technically called two good games in a row. It's just a matter of, you know, Trevor making sure he can hit the guy, you know, get or hit guys that are open, and then using all the weapons like he did last time.
I'm nervous about this game, but it's a good nervous. Like, I really don't, and I probably shouldn't say it, but I really don't see Jacksonville getting blown out here. I see them being competitive. And, you know, because of, you know, the personnel that that we can put on the field, I feel like we're athletic, you know, within the linebackers. I feel like we're athletic up front. We've got really good depth with that front seven as well to continue to, you know, bring waves and the defensive line has been playing outstanding, you know, the last 2 weeks. So I don't think that is going to be a factor, you know, to why we lose, or if we were to lose, I don't think the defensive line, you know, would be an issue. I think that it would be, you know, a lack of execution, a lack of execution on defense, you know, with some of the calls, you know, that were made, I think, and they cleaned up some of that communication this game. I think it would possibly be a lack of execution on the offensive side of the ball. Again, Trevor not being able to miss those plays. In order for Jacksonville to win this game, they have got to get creative. They have got to get deep in the playbook. And I think also, you know, they've got to really just play mistake-free football. Mistake-free football is what's going to win you this game.
No turnovers. No turnovers. Now, the beauty of it, too, is I keep wanting to call them San Diego. Man, that's still in me. The Chargers do not run the ball all that well. Eckler's a good back, but just the way their offense is shaped, he's almost kind of like a 10 to 15 carry with, you know, 3 to 5 passes type deal, like, you know, all-purpose back. And that's just kind of how they're built. So not to say that he couldn't gash us, because he definitely could, but they're not going to take – they don't have a 230-pound battering ram that they can just keep running at us. Now, we shut down the rushing champion and Jonathan Taylor last week. So I'm hoping that, you know, some of that will – you know, a little bit different animal here. But making them one-dimensional would be a really good thing to see, to really put Herbert's ribs to the test.
You mean making him one dimensional in the passing game?
In the passing game, yes. Yeah. Keep you getting him dropping back 35, 40 times. Because that many times, there's somebody's going to hit him.
Yeah.
And I'm talking clean hits here, not 30 hits. But he's going to get hit. And it's just a matter of, let's see what happens, how that affects the rest of his game. And how it affects him, you know, even in the beginning of the game with all that extra protection he's going to have on. Apparently he was, you know, skipping around or whatever in practice, which I'm like, okay, yeah, of course that's what they're going to say, you know. But everybody saw that game. You could clearly tell he could barely breathe, and he went back out there. So, you know, they're going to shoot him up with the cortisone or whatever, and he's going to go out there and let's see if we can – Trayvon Walker can give him a nice, you know, hello from Duval and pile drive him one time.
Well, let's shift gears to predictions. And JK3, you had a very optimistic lead-in on this and that, that we shouldn't get blown out, which is very positive. If you had to predict a win, loss, and a score, what would it be? And this is, like, legit for both of you, gun to your head. You have to make the decision.
Why is it going
to
be a gun?
Whatever. Your family is going to get kidnapped. Like, oh, nothing okay. biased.
Even better.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's very, very important that you select what you legitimately think is going to happen.
Man, my heart is telling me that the Jags are going to win. And you know, I can't go against my heart, man. I really think they're going to win. I know I'm a ridiculous, you know, Jags fan or anything, but now thinking also, like, realistically looking at it on paper, are they going to be able to execute? I'm going to go against them this week. I really am. I hate it. Please don't bash me on Twitter, but I think they fall 21-28.
Okay, so 21-28 loss. Be sure to bash JK3 on Twitter.
If they win, oh my god, my mentions are going to be insane.
Derek, what about you? Like, everything's on the line: family, career.
Oh, you're not putting a gun to his head. His family didn't get kidnapped by gorillas and, you know, or anything like that. Come on, man.
By gorillas. I don't think I added that. Yeah, fine. Gun to your head, whatever. what would be your prediction on this? So we got 28-21 loss on JK3's side.
Hold on here. Let's
No, you can't. Now, quit looking at stats. Quit looking at.
I'm not looking at stats. No stats.
Family's not actually on the line.
Yeah, literally, his family. if the gun's to the head, hold on, really quick. Let me check some analytics. Let me check what IBM Watson has to say about the game on Sunday.
No stats here. I am going to.
IBM Watson.
We're going to go 27-24. So I'm even going to go over the under. 27-24 Jacksonville.
Oh, a true fan.
27-24.
Nice.
Now, and that's a big ask, because they have Vegas has a line of a 7-point favorite for the Chargers. So,
so you could gamble and make some money.
I don't do that no more.
This is the third we've done this. And before we get to your prediction, Corey, I mean, I think we should have a new segment, you know, down by the sports book, you know, head some bets, get a couple parlays out there, right there, you know, down by the bookie. Mm. No,
man. I can't do it. Cause you can look like Nostradamus one week and you can look like a fool the next week.
All this is kind of random.
Yeah.
I feel like it's like one of those things where you get like this exciting home win where you kill somebody and then immediately gets followed up by a disappointing loss on the road. That's just how I feel like this always goes. So if I had to pick a score, I'd say 27-10 LA.
Oh,
that feels disappointing enough. You know what I mean?
But well, Derek sent that tweet today from at NFL Research, and it just to even really, you know, play on your heartstrings a little bit more, it says Trevor Lawrence is 0-9 on the road. He will try to get his first road win Sunday against the Chargers. The only QB to lose his first 9 road starts and win his 10th, Peyton Manning, who beat the Chargers in week 3 of his second season.
God, I got to go back on that then. You already said it.
Sorry, man.
That does seem like destiny, though. Man, if we win that, I don't know. Trevor Lawrence equals Peyton Manning, I think, is the thought process going forward. That's wild. I didn't even see that second part about the Chargers. I saw when he sent that, but I only saw the road wins thing.
Anything's possible. Anything's
sound like
possible.
Kevin Garnett.
No.
Anything is possible.
No. Don't sound like KG. They definitely have there's definitely the opportunity to do it. And definitely playing on a high. I think that, like I said, they just need to go out and just play ball. Just go. Just don't overthink it. Don't just go out there and play and just leave it all out there, and if it happens, it happens. It's not to say that they can definitely beat the Chargers. It's just a matter of just making more plays. It's going to be one of those games, in my opinion, where the last team, the team with the ball last, has to make the play. They'll be in the position to win the game. If they get blown out, you know, the Vegas, you know, 7, that's pretty big odds. So they're, you know, they're thinking we'll go out there and lay a goose egg or something. Then, you know, they, you know, like, you know, just slap back to reality, you know. But I think we're going to be fine. I think we'll do well. And we win. Great. But if we don't, hopefully they'll at least be well coached and they have some fight in them to where we don't, you know, years past we've gone out there and we haven't been well coached and we've got blasted. So that's what I'm counting on. It's good coaching.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, that's cool. We'll, look forward to the game on Sunday, and I think I have confirmed I have Xbox One as well, by the way.
So don't go back to it now.
Believe me.
What color is it?
I'll take a picture when I go out. Because I thought there's one that's newer than that, isn't there? Like
There's one newer than the Xbox One.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have the 360, come on. I'd look up the pictures, so... But if the new game comes out on Xbox One, I'm definitely going to get it. So definitely get ready to get torn up as I make my Call of Duty comeback. All right, good stuff. So anyway, that trash talk sounded so lame.
Dude, what if you logged in and like you logged into your gamer tag and they're like, he's back.
That'd be cool.
The ghost of St. John's County is back.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. Cool. It used to be a big thing years ago where guys would do not live streams, but recordings of them playing and with commentary and stuff. But I think live streams on like Twitch and all that's kind of taken that place. But man, that's crazy how people make careers out of just playing video games on the internet being live streamed. That seems pretty awesome. I don't know if I could do that, actually.
I couldn't play a video game for 40 hours a week.
Yeah, no, that's not my... No, I couldn't do it either. But...
All right. Well, hopefully our sponsors, not Twitch or anything like that for this episode. All right. Well, appreciate everybody for listening. Again, we're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. I think all of them at this point have rating and review systems, so whichever one you listen on, please leave us a rating and review, particularly...
Five star rating and review.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, leave a 5-star rating and review. If it's anything else, just click out of it. Don't bother. but we do like text too. The reviews where you guys actually type stuff in there and write messages are pretty fun. Except the ones where there's trash talking, which has now enabled somebody to want to do that, probably by me saying that. But we're also on Twitter and at Down by the Bank, and you can see all of our individual Twitter handles on there as well. And once again, we're affiliated with the Blue Wire Podcast Network. So thank you again for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.